They'd been through a lot for the past 3 years. They'd journeyed with Jesus. They'd heard from him. They'd watched him. They'd seen miracles. They'd created memories, been part of incredible moments of transformation, of people's lives being touched and restored and changed forever and ever. They had seen enough things, heard enough things to have memories to last a lifetime. And they'd seen enough and heard enough to fill volume after volume of book about the incredible words and deeds that Jesus had done. And yet here they find themselves on a Sunday evening in a room where confusion and heartbreak reigns. What's going on? What's happening? These men who had journeyed with Jesus for so long, who had seen so much, now find themselves full of questions, feel hopeless, feel helpless, feel without future. They wonder what the next morning might bring. The pain, the anguish, the agony, the ecstasy, the things that they've begun to experience begin to well up deeper and deeper within each and every one of them, and they don't know what to believe anymore. Is he dead? Like the authorities claim and like the authorities celebrate and hold over them like a piece of triumphant information? Or is he alive? Is he risen? Is he living, resurrected, as Mary Magdalene had claimed when she had met with him and encountered him earlier on that morning? With so many things swirling around, with so many thoughts that were going around at that time in the lives of those people, and maybe the questions that we have ourselves tonight in this place, it's in the midst of the questions, in the midst of the confusion, in the midst of the heartbreak, in the midst of the hopelessness, and everything else that was going on in that period of time in the lives of those disciples and maybe within us, that Jesus comes to us. And so as we come to this passage tonight, as we celebrate and remember the greatest day in history, the greatest day that there ever has been and the greatest day that there will be until Jesus comes again, what do his words and what do his actions offer to us? Not just today on this day, but always as we journey throughout the rest of our lives until we meet with him face to face, that Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world, who reigns at the right hand of God the Father. What does he have to say to us today? What does he have to show us that we might know his hope, that we might know his life and his peace and his joy? If you want to turn to John 20, we're going to go through this for just a few moments this evening. The first thing that I want us to see is that Jesus acts. And Jesus comes to his disciples. He comes to them through locked doors, in the midst of their fears, and he stands in their midst. And he comes to us in the same way. We read in verse 19, that when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood amongst them. The first thing I want you to see and notice in this passage is that the doors are locked. The doors are locked. And Jesus comes. And he doesn't have to knock. He doesn't have to force entry. He doesn't have to wait on the door being opened to him. He simply appears. Verse 20 tells us that he comes and he reveals himself to the disciples. And in Luke's gospel, we read that he is not a spirit, but he has a new resurrected body. And Jesus comes to the disciples in this moment as the new resurrected king, as the one who has conquered death. And he stands before them. And the incredible thing that I think this teaches us, or that Jesus is trying to remind the disciples of here and trying to remind us of as well, is that there is no area of their lives. There is no feeling of hopelessness, no feeling of helplessness, no feeling of being completely lost and at sea and confused as to what is going on, no experience that they have endured over the course of the past couple of days that Jesus can't come and reach into. There is not one moment in history, there is not one thing that we face, not one thing that will ever be done to us that Jesus cannot come and is not willing to move into. We may feel like our lives are messed up. We may feel that we're too hurting or we're too broken or we're too far away. But the very fact that Jesus was able to come into the midst of those locked doors and be present amongst his disciples teaches us tonight that he can come, and he can come right in to the complex layers of our lives. They're familiar territory to him. The book of Hebrews tells us that we have this great high priest who has come from heaven and come to this earth and endured the life on this earth, has gone through the things that we know and we experience, has been tempted in every way, and yet was without sin, and has ascended to heaven. And we have this great high priest who reigns, who we can approach, who we can come to tonight with confidence to receive the grace and the help that we need for those doors that we have locked in the deepest parts of our lives, for those walls that we have built up. Jesus' resurrection, his appearance fits him to show us that he can do what no one else can. He can come into the midst of those locked doors. And he can come into the midst of our fears. The disciples had a legitimate fear. They'd just seen their leader crucified, seen as a threat to the empire, to the regime that Caesar was building. And maybe they wondered, is this going to happen to us? Are those same authorities going to come after us? Are they going to look for us? What questions are they going to ask? What things might they do if they did this to Jesus? And we've watched him endure false trial after false trial, and he did nothing wrong, and he was without sin, and we're not perfect. What might they do to us for being associated with him? And into the midst of those fears, Jesus comes. He moves in. And I don't know about you, but maybe this is the way that I need the risen King Jesus the most in my life. I think we're all filled with aspects of fear, aren't we, if we're being honest? We're fearful that we're maybe going to be unprepared. Maybe fearful of living well or dying well. Maybe we're fearful for our future. Fearful for our children, fearful for the world, fearful that if we step out in boldness and faith that someone might persecute us. The fears could go on and on. And yet Jesus moves into these fears. He moves into the fears that these disciples have, and he doesn't wait on them overcoming their fears. He doesn't wait on them having enough faith to rise up and conquer this fear head on and go out into the world. Instead, he comes to their fear. And he offers that to us today as well. Thousands of times in my life, I've probably been more fearful than I would care to admit. And yet when we cry out in the midst of our fear to this risen King Jesus, he makes us a promise. A promise that the disciples would have known, a promise that they would have heard. A promise that we can hear tonight and have spoken over us. The words of Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, Andrew, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I'm personal. I'm with you. I'm for you. And I will strengthen you and help you. I won't abandon you to your fears. I won't leave you to face those fears head on. I won't hold back until you have enough faith to move. But I will come, and I tell you, do not fear, for I am with you. There is none more powerful than me. There is nothing that you could endure, nothing too dark, nothing too difficult, nothing too broken, nothing too scary, that I am not greater than, that I don't have the name above. I am your God. I know you, I love you, and I want to strengthen you and help you. Equip you for what lies ahead. Give you my grace, my mercy. Give you my help, my strength. Isn't that an incredible invitation that Jesus offers to us tonight in light of the resurrection? That we need not be fearful, for he has conquered the last enemy. He has conquered the greatest thing that held over this stranglehold of death. And he has risen victorious, come out the other side, and we are found in him tonight. So Jesus comes through locked doors and into the midst of our fears. And as he comes, he reveals himself to us. He stands in our midst. He shows us his hands and his side. And so when Jesus comes, this verse tells us that he doesn't come and he doesn't stand behind the door. He doesn't stand at the edge of the room. He doesn't stand distant away from the disciples. He doesn't call to them through walls or through megaphones. He doesn't toy with his disciples. He doesn't leave them lingering in a state of fear or faithlessness, thinking, has God forgotten us or has he remembered us? No, instead, Jesus comes and he puts himself right slap bang in the middle of the situation. And more than that, he shows the disciples, he shows us his hands and his side. And why does he do that? Why would he show his disciples his hands and his side? I think he does it so that they would see him and that they would know the truth. Not the lies of the authorities, but the truth of Mary Magdalene's encounter earlier that day. That he is living, he is resurrected. To see that his body has been made new. And to invite them to touch that they might believe in him and love him. And Jesus offers each and every one of us on this day and always that experience to come close to him and to know him as the one who is ever present there with us. And so what a beautiful picture for us on this Resurrection Sunday to know what Jesus does for each and every one of us. That he comes, he moves in, he steps into our fears, he shows us himself and shows that he has conquered, he is victorious, and that we can be found in him, that we can be found in him and know him. And yet for the wonderful things that he does, Jesus does more. He speaks to his disciples as well. He speaks to them words of peace and words of power. He knows the conflict that has been raging around those disciples over the course of that weekend. He knows the war that is going on within their minds and within their hearts. He knows everything that they're facing, that they've endured. And he comes to them. And he speaks to them not once, but twice words of peace. Peace be with you. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. I find it fascinating that before he even got to the power, before he even got to the purpose for living, Jesus' desire was to speak peace to his disciples. His desire was to speak peace to their hearts, to speak peace to their minds, and to remind them of the peace which he has won for them on the cross and in the empty tomb. The peace which has reconciled each and every one of them and each and every one of us to God our Father. The peace which has wiped away the guilt and the shame of sin. And the peace which we can know and we can experience deep within our souls, deep within our lives. To know the peace of a relationship with a loving Father. To know the peace of a relationship with a Savior who is mighty and incredible and one who can never be defeated. To know the peace over our troubled souls and to know peace as well within this world. To know that as difficult or as bad or as broken or as dark as the days may get, we have the peace and the knowledge that there is another day to come, another world to come, one where he will wipe every tear from our eyes, where there will be no conflict, where there will be no war within our spirit, but we will know peace and we will know light and life and hope as we spend eternity within his presence. That's an incredible picture of what the resurrection offers us, isn't it? That Jesus speaks peace to us. He speaks peace to us tonight. He speaks peace over that situation that is going on within your head or your heart right now. But as well as speaking peace to his disciples, he spoke power to them as well. With that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew that if his disciples were going to go into the world, and if we are going to go into the world and fulfill our purpose and our calling to be salt and light and to live for the glory of God amongst the nations, that we would need to know first and foremost that he comes to us and he is with us always in the midst of everything and nothing can separate us from him. that we would need to know the peace, but that we would need to be filled with the power, because we can never do this in our own strength. And so he breathes upon his disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit wouldn't come for another 7 weeks or so until the day of Pentecost. But in this moment, Jesus is acting out a parable to these disciples, where in effect what he is saying to them is, there is one who is coming, one who I have promised to you, one who will be a helper, a guide, a comforter, a challenger, an encourager, an equipper, one who will take you on your wildest adventure and do some incredible things, one who will facilitate the coming of the kingdom into this world. I am breathing him upon you. Receive him. And so how do we receive not just this power, but this peace? Knowing that there are two gifts given to us, two gifts spoken to us by Jesus tonight on this Resurrection Sunday. In John 1, we read, to all who believed in him, he gave them the opportunity to become sons and daughters of God. To receive, we come before him with a posture and we believe. And we rest and we allow him to speak his peace and his power and the reminders of his strength and his might as he comes to us through locked doors in the midst of our fears, to be ever present, ever faithful. And as he gives peace and power, so Jesus finishes by encouraging and telling his disciples that he is sending them, that they have a central purpose, that they now have a reason to live, that they are not aimless, they are not hopeless, that there is a future. There is something to step into, something to press into, something to seek and something to go after. And he tells them, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, in power, in peace, with the knowledge of who I am and of what I have done as I stand in your presence tonight. I am sending you to be light. I am sending you to go and preach a gospel that sees forgiveness of sins proclaimed to all the nations, inviting you to take a message that can transform the hardest of hearts, to take a message that can break into the darkest recesses of our lives. I am sending you. That is your purpose. That is our purpose. And yet he doesn't start there. He ends there, because to him, on that Resurrection Sunday, to those disciples, before they could be sent, it was better for them that they knew his power. Better for them that they knew his peace. Better for them that they knew who he was and what he had done and what he could do. What a journey they'd been on. Not just over the course of those 3 years that they had spent with him, but over the course of that longest weekend of their lives. And as Jesus finishes speaking to them on that evening, the confusion and the heartbreak evaporates in an instant, and we read within those verses that they were turned to joy, that the resurrected King Jesus was amongst them, that he was for them, that an end to their questions had come of what will happen, what will we do, what will we live for? All the aimlessness, the hopelessness, the helplessness, and the weakness evaporated in an instant as they knew who Jesus was, as they were able to see him and know him and believe in him and not fear, because they knew he was with them, to be filled with a peace of relationship with their Father and a peace that went deep into their spirit and a power that would live within them and help them to live out their purpose and see this world changed forever and ever. And on this Resurrection Sunday, that is invited and offered to us too. So as we come to sing our final song, I want to ask you if you're able to stand. And we'll pray together as we finish. After our song here this evening, or this last song, you're free to go. We're going to stick around for a little while and sing some more songs and spend some time in a a time of ministry to one another as well, to pray for each other, to pray peace, to pray power, to pray purpose over one another as Jesus did with his disciples on this Resurrection Sunday. But for now, we believe that the resurrection is the greatest day in history. It was a watershed moment. And I would love for, just as we respond now to Jesus, for this to be a watershed moment for some of us, to know that he is right here, right now with us, that he will never leave us, never forsake us, but speak his power and his strength into us, reminding us not to fear, but to be at peace, to remind us that we are not weak and helpless, but we are people of power, we are people of life, people of hope, finding the resurrection. So I'm going to invite us to simply pray, and then we'll sing our final song, Man of Sorrows. So let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you that yours is the name above all names. And we thank you of the truth of your resurrection. And we thank you for what that means for us as we live here today. That we can know an end to all sin and all shame. That we can know life, we can know hope. We can know fullness of joy. We can know the truth that there is a greater day to come. A day when we will truly know just how wonderful a thing you have done for us. And Lord, we pray into this room tonight and into every heart. We pray for those who are fearful, for those who feel overcome, for those who feel that they just want to lock the doors and hide away and never see anyone or do anything. Jesus, we pray that by your power and by your might, you would come and you would speak your words of Isaiah 41:10 over us. Remind us that we need not be fearful, for you are the God with the name above all names. You're in our midst. You will help us and strengthen us. Lord, would you strengthen and help those who are fearful? Lord, for those of us who feel at war, who are restless, either because we're not yet a son and daughter of yours, or because simply there is other things going on within our hearts that are taking us far away from you, Lord, tonight would you speak your peace to us, and would you come by your peace in this place? Would you, the God of all comfort, the God of all power, come and flow your peace through our bodies? Flow your peace through our spirits. May we sense and know you at work in these moments. And Lord, for those of us who wonder or question what our purpose is, even maybe what our gifting is, or how we can serve, how we can tell others about this incredible resurrection, Lord, we pray that tonight the power of your Holy Spirit would come upon this room, would come upon each and every one of us, as he did in those days. Would he fill us? Would he anoint us? Would he fix our eyes upon you, Jesus? For you are the one worthy to be gazed upon, the one worthy to serve. And would you take us from this place, not in fear, but in boldness, not in discouragement, but in encouragement and courage, that Jesus reigns, and we are found in him, and that there is no corner of this earth, no person that we can even go to and speak this word to that is beyond your reach, nothing that they could ever say, Lord, that your power isn't greater than. So would your power come upon us, and would it flow from us as we leave this place tonight? Flow into this town, flow into this nation, flow into this world. May it know the hope of your resurrection. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.